ergänzo. Honorable members, our agenda is like this this morning. Let me take this opportunity to welcome honorable members, our department, and I'm hoping you are all well, maybe tired, because, you know, on the last days of closing parliament, our program is hitting like this. And, you know, as this committee, we've been having meetings Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesday, and Fridays. So let me, when I'm welcoming you, and in this introduction, firstly, I must indicate to the members that we are expecting that next week we must have two items for the last meeting of our committee. Honorable members, before even you adopt the agenda, let me tell you what is going on with the cricket South Africa. They are not yet ready. They've confirmed that by email. And then surely we're not having them. They've asked that they must be put for the next year. And then the other thing, the Swim South Africa leaders, they've spoken to the office that they want a closed meeting, and I couldn't answer that except that I had to write to the House Chairperson asking permission for that. It was rejected. As now speaking, we'll hear from the office what is now that they've said, because when we did receive their rejection of a hidden or a closed meeting, I've said they must be given that chance to be told that if they cannot come in a public meeting, we don't have any other option as this committee. By that, honorable members, I'm proposing that a agenda must be adopted, the one which is in front of us.
Chairperson?
Just a moment. Can now take this in order that I must see the hands. So take it from the screen, the agenda. Yes. I'm having Honorable Zondi, Rachel, Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Van Dyk, those four hands in that order. Honorable Zondi.
Good morning, Chair, and greetings to the honorable members and the department and our visitors, if they are. I'm proposing that we adopt the agenda as presented.
Thank you, Honorable Sundi. Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to yourself and colleagues. Chairperson, I second the proposal. Because it was agreed, and it's as it is stated on the agenda, it's a true reflection. I second the proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The agenda has been seconded. I'm still seeing the hand of Honorable Mhlongo. Okay. The agenda has been seconded. Honorable members, let's go to apologies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a standing committee from the Minister for this week, and also for Inkosi Luthuli. We also have an apology from the Deputy Minister, who is not feeling well this morning. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I've seen that you have a standing apology from the minister.
Yes, Madam Chair, when he wrote an apology, it was for this week. He's still traveling with the president.
DG? DG?
No, good morning, Chairperson. Minister indicated that he will try to join us this morning. So, yeah, so I will just check if it is a technical issue of connectivity. But he definitely indicated that he will do his best to join us. Yeah.
The minister is in. He's just calling me that he's in the meeting. Honorable members, thank you, DG. In that note, now we're coming to the first item in our agenda. I'm welcoming you, the staff of our committee, the staff of the office of the ministry. We have noted the apology of Deputy Minister. Honorable members, can now take this opportunity to give our department to take us through the point number one on the agenda, the progress report by the department on white paper on arts, culture and heritage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have a problem with my gadget. I don't know whether I'm audible, Chair.
You are Honourable Minister.
Oh, thank you very much. And I'm glad, Chair, that we'll be discussing these substantive matters today relating to the white paper and the work which would have been done as the department following you adopting the white paper. And it's an important progress which I think the DG and the team would be able to deal with it. But just to say, Chair, that perhaps starting with the sports amendment, the Sports Act amendment, we are going to have the progress which has been made thus far gives us comfort that the National Sport and Recreation Act of 108 of 1998 has amended in 2007. We are all well on our way to the amendment. We went through this process before on the objects and the import of the amendment, as it were. So we are on its processes in government related to its submission to necessary structures like DPME and SDIHS has been done. The bill is now with the Chief State Law Advisor. We're happy with the progress. We want it to be done much quicker so that we're able to fulfill that obligation. On the issue of the white paper, work has begun, as the DG and the team be able to outline that. We are now at a point where both from the branch of heritage promotion and preservation and from the branch arts culture promotion and development, there's been movement, one of amalgamating heritage sites, as directed by the white paper, work that started there, the account detail we give it, the area of technical and production at the level of academics. Because you would understand, Chair, that our approach on the creative, on the cultural and creative sector is a scientific one. We don't do guesswork. We are directed by research work, so our actions are evidence based. Whatever we do is evidence based. the academies for us are very important. We believe in investing, as we've said in the previous budget votes, that we believe in professionalizing the industry and ensuring that things are done in a way that at the end of the day, you are going to have an easy product to sell, even outside of the country, based on a proper training, proper professionalizing of the industry. And that work from technical and production section of the creative, cultural and creative sector is also unfolding, and the DG would be able to get into the details on that. Some work has been covered, because that area also has a lot of work as it relates to the transformation of the events, technical and production skills. That's why the academy is very important insofar as that is concerned. We also, Chair, would be looking at the areas, for instance, of library. We're ready with the proceeding on the process of promulgating the amendment to the Libraries Act. One of the challenges which we are faced with is the challenge of the budget, that process, the operationalization of the process itself is going to be extremely costly. Billions of rands for that. That's why perhaps it was a bit delayed, because we need to have necessary resources insofar as that is concerned. I want to commend you, Chair, and your committee, together with the Committee on Trade, Industry and Competition, on the Copyright Amendment and Performance Protection Amendment Bills, that the process is going. As we said last time, that we will urge you as Parliament to ensure that at least by the beginning of the year, the process is fast-tracked by Parliament, so that those amendments are made, which will enable the cultural and creative workers to be able to benefit out of the transformation of the landscape and guaranteeing of their very fundamental rights of royalties, of their IPs and so on, so that they benefit out of the out of their own labor, as it were. So would once more urge that together with your counterparts at DTIC, you nudge each other that the process continues. I also want, Chair, to note the fact that from the point of view of heritage, for instance, which you are going to be dealing with here, to note that at an international level, there is the appreciation of the work done for people in the sector by this very department in this country, that our work from the leadership of the DG of our department on the African World Heritage Fund continues, and acknowledgement from UNESCO continues to be made, and encouragement to the work we are doing, because it's an important area, especially when it comes to preservation of heritage sites, as it were. We are, Chair, currently assisting the AU as the department, particularly in the process of digitizing the archives, heritage archives at that level. So as we are doing our own, you'd be aware, Chair, that we concluded long time ago the Rigonia trial digitally and available as well to the public. That whole more than 230 hours of Rebona trial is now accessible to the public, and we continue with other areas because we believe that the fourth IR has to start with us, and we are equal to the task. As it were. I also acknowledge a note actually humbled by yet another UN agency which see value in the department, especially the existence of the South African Cultural Observatory by UNCTAD, the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, when they acknowledge our innovative ways as the department of approaching this sector in a scientific way and becoming a point of reference on the reliability of the data which we have. But also, you know, them understanding the kind of work we do and acknowledging the fact that this very department has over a period of time been bridging the gap between the import and export of cultural goods and the recording positive in terms of our export of cultural goods and services. And what that means, Chair, it means that this department has gone out of its way and working very hard to ensure that it sends out artists in this country, cultural activists in this country, to other countries to showcase our own talent and capacity at any given moment. We do that. As we speak now, Chair, we are part of the Dubai Expo 2020, and Team South Africa is one of the best teams there. In fact, we have sent a lot of artists, more than many countries in that, because we care for our creative workers and cultural workers. But also, the fact that as we speak now, the president is on a state visit to West Africa in Cote d'Ivoire yesterday and today in Ghana. There we have sent our own people and practitioners from the sector, the domain of fashion. For instance, our own people are there in their numbers again to expose and showcase our case, our capacity as a country, but also as part of that, which was noted by UNCTAD, that we are doing well in exporting our cultural goods and services. So these agreements we have with many countries, which we still are going to have many more, help us to create a platform for our artists to be able to share with the world. Coming closer home, Chair, I'm also noting the fact that this integration of the continent through arts, culture and heritage is paying dividends now. When we launched the Africa Month in 2015, our vision was precisely that it blends with the whole of the continent so that we understand each other better, but also have other creative workers visit our country and exchanging with us, as it were. I'm humbled, Chair, to note that the notes of commendation and encouragement continue to happen from the point of view of the AU. As you know, Chair, that the AU adopted our own brainchild of Africa Month. It's now the flagship program of the African Union. which goes to strengthen our hand and resolve, Chair, that we will take the opportunity all the time to ensure that the world, we crisscross the world, to share with the world what we have, so that we open opportunities for our artists. And this is what we're doing in Nigeria. I will be joining the president again in Senegal, where we have a lot of activities with the Senegalese. And these are the countries where we have taken our artists to and exposed them through our Seasons program, where we take artists in this country to the different parts of the world. We have now, Chair, very much in the process, we have entered the process of economic recovery and reconstruction of the sector itself. And part of that, we couldn't have missed the opportunity. Any opportunity that comes our way, we will be able to grab it and ensure that we expose our artists. I want to end, Chair, by actually noting what I'm told was said here in this meeting or in this committee, that our non-attendance early this week, we always provide the apologies. When we're not engaged, we definitely come to this committee and we'll continue to respect the committee. And this time around, for instance, we have had meetings, about six of them, and two of them were on Fridays. And we are out there on Fridays on the outreach program, currently with the vaccination program. So you are not going to get me as a person in this committee. But when it comes to the executive, both houses of parliament have agreed with the executive that if the minister is not around, the deputy minister will be there, and that will happen, Chair. And I want to tell you upfront that I'm not going to be part of all of your meetings. If you expect that, I must say upfront that if it coincides with cabinet committee, like the four meetings you had out of the six, I mean, the three out of the six coincided with the cabinet committee. So I won't be, because cabinet committee meets on Tuesdays. Your committee meets on Tuesdays as well. And therefore, I'm not going to be part unless the meeting has been cancelled from the cabinet committee. But there is no crisis. The deputy minister would be here and will always be here. I also, Chair, you know, acknowledge the right of members, especially from the DA and from the EFF, who would not accept my apology. Well, it's their right to do so, but for me, it means nothing. If somebody is irrational in understanding the task of the executive, specifically of ministers, and decide to undermine and overlook that simply because of narrow politicking and twisted logic in understanding what we do, good luck for them. There's nothing I can do, but I will endeavor at all material times when there is no cabinet engagement that I become a part of the meeting. When it comes to issues of questions, I don't have any personal relations with you as members of parliament and members of this committee. Questions are regulated in this parliament. And I'm repeating myself, Chair. There's never been in my executive responsibility, there's never been an instance where I cannot account for any question raised with me. Now, questions, the procedure is very easy. The procedure is that the questions are sent to the questions desk of the National Assembly, and they get to us as the department and the minister, and we answer questions, we account, and we're happy to do that. We will continue to do that. So I think the myth that we don't want or are not feeling comfortable to account should be busted at any time when it comes. We are going to continue, and I can say, Chair, without any fear of contradiction, that I have never had anybody who's having an outstanding question with me who wants to do things. But I insist, you do it procedural. You don't send me a text message. That's not official. Things must be done officially. It's there. And when I'm not there, even when we respond to oral questions, the deputy minister will be there. And that is an agreement between Parliament and the executive. If this particular committee has a problem with that, and in fact, it's not the committee, I must correct myself. If Mr. Mhlongo and Mr. Madingozi has a problem with that, we can help them. It's an agreement which is there. You will see me sometimes, and sometimes you won't see me. And I have been attending this committee. And as I said, Chair, I'll continue to do that. I want to get the details of emails or an email which was sent to me by members who claim to have sent the emails. But if those emails are just questions, Chair, I would advise members that they do not send it in future. They must follow the procedure. Send it to the National Assembly question desk, and we take things from there. That's how we relate. It's at that professional level. I don't expect any email from a personal level from any member. But if they are, I would want to know them. Where were those, and when were they sent, which address were they sent, and so on and so forth. I have not in the past few months received any, and my office has no such recollection of any emails which may have been received. Because if I had received them, I would have written back to the members and directed them to the established procedures of how Parliament interacts with the executive. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Can now give DG to continue with the presentation. DG.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Committee, the Portfolio Committee of the Divanjo Sports and Culture. Good morning to the Honourable Minister, Mr. Natimketo, to the colleagues who are here. And Honourable Chairperson, I do have my colleagues. And as Minister said, I'm here with the team. I will then do the presentation in line with how Minister has outlined. In fact, he has covered a lot of ground on this presentation. And importantly also, this presentation was taken as read. Therefore, I won't have to go into detail, but just to at a high level, and then enable the opportunity for questions if there are any from honorable members. So I would ask honorable chair, those who have presented from part one to part six, because it's just the background, that we move rather to part seven, where we provide the update. And not go back to what we had presented before. So that is how we'll approach the presentation, starting with the updates. Yes. Honorable Chairperson, the first thing that we needed to talk to is in relation to policies. And I just want to, can you make it as a slide presentation? Just to indicate that in relation to the dance and theatre policy, First, we needed to establish a structure that we're going to work with, and that structure has been established, and all provinces have now confirmed their participation, so that at the end of the day, then we are going to be moving forward and work with them. And the issue of the service provider has been finalized also, and they have started to work with this task team so that they can then devise the policy, and then it will be taken for further consultative processes. But we are at a stage where the task team with the service provider, which includes all representatives from provinces, is already in place. The next issue was about the issue of the name change around the NFVF, NAC, as well as to see whether, as Minister would put it, who still watches a video in our time. So this is more really two levels. One, the academic issue is that we have to have relevance, and which then means we need to deal with the name change. Two is a consolidation, and that one deals with the issue of also looking at the policy framework that will be overarching to cover these entities once they're amalgamated. It's a consultative process, and that you might take time. So what we have done then was to establish a task team that is going to work on this, but also rope in legal services to assist about legislative implications of such amalgamation. The next issue is around the issue of policies relating to the South African music. We can confirm, Chairperson, that Honorable Chairperson, that after engagement with the sector here, this was decision is that we need to now work first and finalize the Cultural Creatives Industries Master Plan so that the policy has a foundation on which it will then be based, and that these consultations with the various stakeholders is currently taking place. But in those consultations, it was agreed that before we implement this particular object of the revised white paper, let the master plan be finalized, and then we will move forward. On the issue of the master plan is at a stage where we have we were dealing with it at a cabinet cluster level, so that it is will soon be reaching cabinet for endorsement. So that area of work also has proceeded so that this policy will not be delayed. And then on the issue of the National Orchestra, Chairperson, I can just confirm that indeed then the work has been done here. The board of the orchestra has been appointed. The National Philharmonic Orchestra Board has been appointed. Two, the budget has been set aside. And three, is that the draft business plan has been made, which will then be outlining the rollout of this particular program. If we move to the next slide, we then look at the issue of the Book Council, and this is just work in progress, Chairperson, where, as the Minister was indicating, the role of working on the basis of research, working with SACO. So we have had consultative processes, but we are finalizing the appointment of an advisory committee that will assist us, so that when we do this, it is informed by both the legislative framework that is required in order to have this as a statutory body and have a proper advisory council. In that way, we believe we will then be able to meet the object of the white paper. On the issue of the skills development and the proposition to replace the 2005 NAKISA program on the National Events and Technical and Production Skills Academy, the Minister has covered it. So it's just to indicate that we are indeed working quite closely with SARA here, South African Roadies Association, but also there is a task team that also helps to make inputs, as we can separate the two with the issue of the BBBE charter regulating this environment. but we are working with them and implementation, then proper details will be outlined in the plan of 2022. Then on the issue of the historically marginalized and under-resourced provinces, as the department has always said that transformation is at the apex of our priorities to ensure that there are platforms are created. There has been a lot of work done here, and you can just share with the member that first and foremost, the biggest achievements have been with the issue of the Northern Cape, where there was no theater. Now it is there. Soon it will be unveiled with its name, and proper launch of it will be done just in a few weeks' time, if not just before end of January. I can just confirm, but it is there now. Two was the issue of Eastern Cape, also where a minister has approved and has declared here at the Mandela Bay Theatre Complex. So Eastern Cape will now be having something that is guaranteed to ensure that the artists and creatives in Eastern Cape have got a similar playhouse-like thing where they can then exercise their craft. So this is done, and the budget has been finalized also to make sure that the declaration gives the support, and they've been provided with that budget. The next one, Chairperson, is the issue of the performing arts companies, which have developed reputable and training programs in the arts, be funded and supported to have their courses accredited. As we know, accreditation is not done by the department, but we have worked through the CITAS so that these get accredited, and we have engaged and started with the initiative to work with CAT CITA as well as MEC CITA. So that we're able to achieve this outcome of accredited courses and certificates, so that people have something to go about as qualification. This is in line with the professionalization of the sector, Minister outlined earlier. The issue of the audits for how many theaters do we have across the country? This is just the service provider here. We wanted to appoint the service provider that will assist us. That one that will be appointed working on the dance theater and dance strategy will then take this particular undertaking and ensure that we do the audit so that we know how far they are. But in the meantime, we continue at this stage with the establishment of the theaters. As I indicated, that we have also working with Mpumalanga now to make sure that Mpumalanga have got a proper theater. So we have established that a task team work with them between us and then Mpumalanga. At the same time, one thing I did not mention was that we have also, Honorable Chairperson, worked on the issue of Limpopo, where the budget was set aside and the feasibility study have been finalized. So next year it will be in a process of then moving beyond the feasibility and looking at procurement processes to start with the construction of such a theater in Limpopo. And then the collaboration with the relevant departments and the new funding and the support models considered. This project, Chairperson, we will be doing it in the next quarter. At this stage, we have just had initial engagements with the various key role players in the funding of the sector, so that we are able to then determine how best the consolidation and maximize the stretching of the rent in this regard, by collaborating and eliminating duplications within the funding, so that we have a clear tunnel vision about where the money goes and how it can be maximized. Because currently there are too many role players in the funding of the sector, which makes it the impact minimal compared to what we want. Then Chairperson, on the on the issue of the other cross-cutting issues, the adoption of a grant, a conditional grant for community art centers. This process is still underway, and we'll be finalizing it in the new financial year. But there has been engagement around just modification of how currently we can support community art centers as the local area in which even the up-and-coming creatives can have an opportunity either for training or to exhibit their work or to be able to perform when they need to. And that process is underway, Chairperson. On the heritage promotion and the preservation interventions, Minister, I think, has spoken quite at length on this area. So I won't waste time, but just to indicate that from the policy front, we all know that we have reported to this committee of the department that the new repatriation and restitution of human remains and heritage objects was approved already. So that is work done. Then the issue of the National Heritage Legacy Project policy will be finalized before the end of the financial year. And then on the issue of the review of the heritage, living heritage policy to include sport and recreation, because we are now one department, that also will then be work undertaken in 2022. On the establishment of the integrated national, the skills development, training and capacity enhancement within this sector. We just want to confirm that this minister had long initiated to ensure that we have the skills required in this sector, particularly in the heritage. And through bursaries, we are providing almost annually to the youth students who are in need and are extremely but unable to get funding. So we have partnership with the various who are helping us to do this, but we sponsor 65 bursaries per annum to the students who are needy, but we want to empower to have skills in this sector. Then the issue of the placement strategy for the unemployed, can you go back a bit? Nordwick? Yeah. So the issue of working with the national and the international institutions of higher learning and heritage sector on identifying as well as aligning the funding for highly specialized skills. Honorable members, just to give an example, in relation to preservation and curating, is one of the very few skills that we have in this country. For restoration of artifacts, we have a problem. So there is a need to have these specialist skills in the sector so that our heritage artifacts are not lost because of the lack of management as well as of just looking at how to preserve them at the end of the day and conserve them. So there is that issue in this area, but we are also working with different countries to try and have partnerships with them to just share those skills for now to assist our museums to be able to preserve and or restore those artifacts. And the issue of the knowledge systems policies, and this one, as I we reported before, Minister has established and appointed a IKS advisory committee. We have met with them. They are now hard at work to ensure that we are able to then have this particular integration of African knowledge systems and move away from undermining it through these Western knowledge systems as if they are superior to African knowledge systems. Hence, the very diverse experts have been appointed to the advisory panel by the minister. So we are going to then see a lot of work moving in this regard as the panel start their work in earnest. But they have just been appointed now, as the time frame was 2021. On the issues of finding the development of new monuments and museums, I think Minister has spoken here, giving a simple example around what is happening with Matola and Bozini, but just the new ones that we are busy with now that have been finalized is the Rene Madikizela Mandela in Brantford, the O.R. Tambo Garden of Remembrance, and then in Musail Museum in Canada, Memorial Content Development and Installation. Now are those things that are underway. But those new museums and their funding is secured. If we then move to the next slide, was the issue of continuing the issue of the funding of the new monuments. We have spoken about this, and that we are having, and this is in line, also honorable members, with the issue of the amalgamation, so that we minimize costs related to operations, particularly by boards. So at this stage, the very first initiative that we see and is bearing fruit, and the team has just visited Matola, Mozambique recently, is the one dealing with Bozini as well as Matola on the issue of Samora Machel, the former president of Mozambique. So this has been, it's already work in progress and budget secured, and the overarching structure under the leadership of Freedom Park is the one that is doing that work. And then on the next slide, it was the issue of then to conduct a transformation audit of all arts, culture, and heritage and cultural creative industries institutions. And here we can just indicate, Jefferson, that this is a work that requires a lot of consultation and engagement. We will be dealing with the second phase of relocation and repositioning of the statues before the end of this financial year. What we can share with the committee is that through SARA, the South African Resources Agency, Heritage Resources Agency, we have been able to achieve this audit through the Presidential Employment Stimulus Package, and they are just refining it and removing any possible duplicates or errors. And but at least this country will be having a proper database now and on the statues and monuments across the length and breadth of South Africa. And that is because of the use of the PSP. So this is done. And then on the issues around the National Archives, we just want to confirm here that the issue of the National Archives Advisory Council is being finalized in terms of the amendments that they we are proposing so that the Act is aligned with the current developments, including the issues of the fourth industrial revolution and how to take advantage of that. And therefore, then the legal team is helping the department in terms of achieving this. The timelines here, we are looking at between finalizing this process between 2023 and 2024. Then on the issue of the human resources development, as we have indicated, we don't want to see this as in isolation, but as we indicated, firstly, it's development of skills through the bursary system that we have, but also working then with the, already we are working with the institutions of higher learning because what was expected here was working with both DBE as well as a higher education, and this is already being rolled out. Thanks. The issues of the archives, national and provincial, his forum has been established in relation to working collaboratively with the local government. And in fact, Minister, just to share with the committee, is that already had made efforts and they wish a yielding fruit in bringing on board COPT as well as the local government to be on board. And they are now attending our meetings so that we are able to collaborate and work with them. So they are now attending the ministerial meetings where the issues of collaboration began at the local government level for the arts, culture, heritage, as well as sport is already happening. So I seem to have lost. Honorable Chairperson, can you still hear me?
Yes, we are not lost. We're still with you.
Oh, I'm surprised now. I can't see nothing on my screen.
Oh, you were just now reporting about the meetings of the inclusion of COPTA and local government is still on our screen. And you elaborate that now we are meeting together. So I don't know what's going on. Who's handling your slides? You must.
Oh, it's fine.
You must move.
Yeah, let's move to slide. While still on that slide, on cultural diplomacy and international cooperation, participation in the international forums, that is already happening. We are even affiliated in the various of these multilateral institutions. So this one is just an ongoing program, Honorable Chairperson. Don't have details to add really because it's what we're already doing. Slide 33, the chapter 4, the new policies for arts, culture and heritage. This is planned to be undertaken in 2022, Honorable Chairperson. And the main areas are really the National Council for Library and Information Services, who are then working on this and to see whether there is a need to have the act amended. But this is plan is outlined for 2022 financial year. And then on the reviewing of the library policy, which is slide 35, still on the same issue. Here we're just indicating, Honorable Chairperson and members, that the issue of the draft norms and standards bill is delayed due to the financial constraints. And I don't want to say much, but the Minister spoke, just to confirm that in terms of the socioeconomic impact assessment, this indicated that will require almost 18 billion rand to roll it out. So that is why it is not yet being rolled out at this stage. Thanks very much.
Thank you, DG. Honorable members, if you don't mind, may I propose that they must also give, because it's the one department, the second presentation in order that we've got a right when we're debating, asking questions, that you must ask the questions of on both presentation, if you don't mind. I'm seeing the hands. I don't know whether you are responding on what I'm asking. If we are responding on that.
Responding. I'm not responding, Chair, through you. Chair?
Yes.
Yes. No. I'm not responding, Chair. I think the PG will respond, actually. He should have the report because that part is the shortest part. I just wanted to, for the record, to correct. I think the PG made a mistake. He referred to some place which used to be called Brantford. which is now Winnie Mandela. I think he made a mistake just to correct it, that the place is now called Winnie Mandela. Thank you.
Okay, Minister. Honorable Mahlengosi, Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable, in that order, Honorable Adams, Honorable Zondi. I'm posing the question that may I be allowed by honorable members that let's just take the next short presentation which is coming, in order that when we're debating, we must do both inclusive questions and contribution. Honorable Mahlengosi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the ministers and the DG and everyone. I think that we can debate this one because it has got a lot of information to be dealt with, and then we go to the next one. That's my proposal. Thank you.
That's the proposal of Honorable Mahlengosi. Honorable Mhlongo.
Chair, I think we've adopted the agenda, and I support Honorable Mahlengosi. We have to discuss now the item that we've been discussing. Thanks, Chair. I support you.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think that the proposal that you have made, Chairperson, I agree with or support that proposal, because it's one department that give us the briefing, so they can continue with the next briefing and then allow us to for questions if we have. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Zondi.
Yes, Chair. I think I'll second the second proposal. I understand the issue of the agenda, but this is the progress report, Chair. It's nothing that we are going to change. We can debate and debate and debate, but the report has not been completed, so there is no harm in presenting, because it's one department, in presenting the certain presentation and discuss them both.
Honorable members, I don't want that you can even vote on this issue. If there are those who are feeling strongly that let's follow the agenda, and maybe those who doesn't, let's come together, honorable members, as a committee. I've still seen the hand of Honorable Mhlongo and Honorable Mahlengosi.
Chairperson, I think the purpose of us adopting the agenda, that is the purpose. It's a guideline how to run our meetings. Now, we cannot adopt the agenda and change in between. It's uncalled for, it's not principled.
Honorable members, can I take the last decision? We usually do what I'm proposing. That's why I was asking. This is not the first of it. Let's get to the discussion, honorable members. We must not forget that sometimes we do waive our agenda, and that's why I was asking. Same members, sometimes they do ask, can we waive? But honorable members, let's go to the discussion of the presentations, overview of the minister and the presentation by the honorable the DG. Let me take the hands, honorable members. I've put the ruling now. No one is going to talk about what you have just decided. Honorable Mahlengosi, Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Adams, in that order, honorable members. I thank you.
Thank you again, Chair. Sorry. Thank you very much. And Chair, it's a pity that Mr. Nathim Kepa, the Minister of Sports and Culture, comes here guns blazing instead of fixing the arts of South Africa. The fact that the minister is black, He is my brother. And he might not be my friend. It's okay. But it's a shame for the creatives of South Africa. Having said that, even the presentation that we are given here is not the same as the summarized one that we got, unless I'm the only one that has got the different one. It is exactly 6 years since the minister of this department elected 8 persons reference panel to revive the 1996 white paper on arts, culture and heritage. And it is with great concern, still after the minister held the national policy consultative in Ndaba on the 26th and 27th of November, where nationwide consultations with stakeholders, national institutions, organizations to solicit oral and written submissions to recommendations. Nothing has been done so far or has been moved. I heard what the minister has been saying and the DG. My question is it the delay, is the delay of the white paper's adoption reciprocal to the absence of the Minister of Sports and Culture to the meetings of this committee? And what are the main stumbling blocks of this white paper to be passed? Another question that I have, Chairperson, on the fourth draft of this white paper, the Department of Sports and Culture prides itself on principles, accountability, and effectiveness. Will that be the true reflection of this department, taking into consideration of the recent PSP management, mismanagement, and the creative advisory? Excuse me. Chairperson, our languages are still as good for hello and goodbye on our national flights. For how long must our languages be compromised because of lack of interest on them by other nations living in South Africa? What is the department saying about that? This white paper resolutes the introduction of arts education at all levels of education, the basic infrastructure and resources in Black underdeveloped rural and urban communities. But it is still the same after 27 years of the so-called liberated country. Why are we still finding a lot of Black communities still not having such initiatives? I heard about the theaters that are still has got to be opened, but we're talking about Ikati Sengwen this time around. Sarah has just recently been assisted by the department, and yet as early as 1996, the white paper has been talking about assisting with technical production skills, lighting, and power, audio vision, rigging, and all what Sarah has been talking about. And if it wasn't Sarah's resilience, they wouldn't have nothing from the department. Like, how many drafts have this department revised, white paper has been revised since 1996? What was the controversy that it sparked? As the first draft was done in October 2016, and the next one was done in November, and the third one was done in February of the following year, was that the fourth draft that was finished on the 27th of October of 2017? And if it was, why did it take so long to be looked at on 2018? Chairperson, the last question is, like, what is the department saying about the challenge that the cultural practitioners like artists have because of the inability to access unemployment insurance funds, the UIF provisions, and the complex taxations that are implicated, and the absence of social security?
Chairperson Jabulani. Thank you, honorable members. Did you count how many questions you have asked? I wish that the honorable members, they must hold other questions for the follow-up in order that you must all have an intake. I'm not going to give that 3 minute to roll because it doesn't assist, but let's try to check whether we are going to give everyone to ask. Thank you, Honorable Mahlengosi. We've noted all your questions. Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I'd like to welcome back the Minister. Minister, you are welcome. After so long that you've been missing, we're not sure where are you. Even right now, you are using someone's laptop, Mr. Mudau. But nonetheless, you are welcome. We highly appreciate your presence after in your absentia, not knowing where do you account. One of the things that I want to highlight, Minister, you are saying to us you only respond on formal questions. I think maybe we must go on what is oversight role. The oversight role is for you to respond to us, for us to engage in question times, even in deliberation times. Now, it is uncalled for because your office is not even responding to our emails. If the chairperson can allow me, I can share those emails here on this platform. If they can give me a share that I must share. For an example, I'll just give you two dates. I wrote to you on the 12th of September regarding the Federation grant. You only acknowledge, not responding. The acknowledge, say, you acknowledge your letter. When you respond, you must say, Honorable Mhlongo, these are the issues why we don't pay Federation in times. That is that. It doesn't need a formal question for us to write that. It takes 14 days for you to respond for formal question. The issues that need our engagement, our interaction, you must account to us, you must deliberate with you now, not for us to wait for 14 days and you don't even respond after 14 days with a formal question that we've received. But nonetheless, you are welcome, but note that you don't respond to my request. Please respond, not acknowledge. You only acknowledge instead of responding. And another issue, your attendance is so important. Right now, under your leadership, NAC is not performing. Under your leadership, we had NAC report in your absentia. We had questions, we had political questions that we wanted to find out from you because you are accountable to us, but you were absent. Now, irrespective that the minister, deputy minister comes, deputy minister, even he failed in the several meetings to come. Both of you were absent. Now, one of the things that I want to put it clearly, we're not attacking you. We're doing our work. I'm doing my work as an oversight work that the minister must attend and prioritize these meetings. It's either you advise us on Tuesdays, you're not available. We speak to the chair of chair. We change our schedule. When you're available, if it's Wednesday, let's do that because we have to engage with you. For an example, this white paper, it has been outstanding for some time under your leadership. When you started this term, you stated clearly that you have an open door policy. But I don't see that open door policy because when are we going to implement this white paper? When are we going to implement this white paper under your watch, Minister? NAC under your watch, plus minus 300 million has been mismanaged under your watch. AG has a damning report. The forensic report, it's damning under your watch. We must engage. You must tell us because one of the things that we are told that needs your response. It doesn't need me to write a letter to you that you acknowledge instead of responding to us. But nonetheless, Minister, you are welcome. And it's advisable for you to prioritize our meeting and make sure that you respond to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. Honorable Adams. Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Honorable colleagues of PC, Department of DSEC, and staff members. I wanted to thank the Minister for his brief input. And I also wanted to thank the Minister of the Minister in his busy schedule to attend this meeting. Sometimes scheduled meetings are out of control, Chairperson, and I also support the view that if the minister are having responsibilities at the executive, we must understand that also. Chairperson, I have a few questions which I am concerned about on page 10. form partnership with the Ministry of Basic Education. Will this also be included in the MOA between DSEC and education? Because we know and are aware that the MOA is not yet been finalized. And also included in page 11, Chairperson, a possibility of duplication of mandates and responsibilities. I refer that to page 11. And Chairperson, also on regarding page 10 and 11, page 32, I saw inputs provided to draft the MOA. But when does the department plan to conclude an MOA with the Department of Basic Education? But I can also saw on page 30, Chairperson, the notice of time frames was there given not applicable. So we can accept that not in the new future, they must explain to us. Chairperson, and then on page 19, I'm really, really overwhelmed about the update on the Northern Cape Theatre. That's really exciting news indeed. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody. Thank you for the presentation. I would like just to note the minister's comment that this, but I think given on the information on the presentation that refers to legislation and alignment with the PFMA, I think I want to say to the minister and the department that we must move faster because we are dealing here with legacy history in alignment, bringing the department up to standard with our democratic values as per the presentation. Chairperson, I would like to ask the first question I would want to ask is, what is the time frames? We've come a long way, I can hear from the other members on this revised white paper. What is the time frame of this revised white paper, although I've heard progress and programs been implemented already? And then I want to ask the amendment of the Libraries Act and the budget challenges the minister referred to. I would like to know if that speaks to the unfunded mandates and the fact that between province and local municipalities there's always a challenge of who must do the job and where the money must come from. I've heard about the benefits to the creative and cultural workers, which I think is that a copyright amendment bill is good news. And then Chairperson, I also would like to know, the government have decided some years ago to review entities and amalgamating some entities. So I just would like to know if this white paper is also, if it includes the whole government's plan of amalgamation of entities. Otherwise, we're going to run two programs, you know, which overlaps. Chairperson, my last question is the point about this partnership with education or higher education. But my question is more referring to basic education. And if one go to the schools now, or if we go to a museum, or if we go to a library, which includes COCTA and basic education, the future of what this department deals with lies for me in the curriculum of future generations to come. So whatever we do in the transformation that this department is undertaking at the moment must also be recorded in such a way that it becomes part of the curriculum for future generations to live this new democratic values that we are in the process of changing. And as the last slide indicated, which is a concern I have, all this work comes to, and I'm not sure if that figure is correct, it's a massive figure, 18 billion, which is more than double the budget that the department gets. So it needs urgent attention. It's very important work. And I think we need to have a discussion, and I hope the minister and the department can convince Treasury that these programs that raised so far needs financial support, that we can make progress on transformation and implementing what we envisage in the constitution and within our democratic values. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Dennis. The next honorable member is Honorable Zondi.
Thanks, Chair. I don't have many questions. I only have one issue with the Sarabatman DG. Touch on the challenges which took longer than expected on that issue. I just wish him to explain more on it. But other than that, Chair, I think the progress made so far pending the availability of funds is much appreciated. In particular, we are hoping that it will enhance international relations between SADC countries. As the minister indicated, our relations with them. And I think this white paper will assist. I'm just highlighting one or two areas, Sematola and Samurama Chair. It's because of their status in their respective countries and others, but the two that I'm mentioning is because I once visited the areas and I know how the ethos and values of this museum to the people of Mozambique and Botswana. So this white paper will assist South Africa moving forward. And also, as a department, will be seen as a department that is on top of the agenda, the issue of transforming the challenges of the political difficulties we have experienced as a country. I think the department, the progress made so far with the new timelines, Chair, because it has timelines, though some had difficulties, but the new timelines that they are presenting to us will assist so that at the end of the day, we don't have white paper that took years and years. But the progress report, the department will come forward with the progress report with timeline. It's much appreciated, Chair. We are discussing the progress to each and every area of our concern, and to us it adds value to what we always say. The department is not reporting to us, is not accounting on the challenges it is experiencing, and also the inavailability of funds sometimes that hinder progress. But because they are presenting the issues to us and challenges which are not a measure to us, I think that Chair, it's much appreciated. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zondi. Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you for the presentation. I just want to make sure and ask whether all the consultation processes have been done at this stage, and if from here, I just want to confirm that it will now go to law, if that's how it works, or if there is still opportunity for people to give input. And then I realize that this updated policy is designed to address the current challenges and shortcomings in the existing policy. And from my side, I wanted to know if it's will it be possible for the committee to at some stage receive the under existing document, the issues and the proposed remedies, so that it is an easy document to see what specifically in the previous document have been changed. I'm not sure if that's going to be complicated, but I was just wondering if that it will be, how can I put it? But it would be helpful if we can get the previous document that has with the proposals, so that we can have a better understanding even more of what is proposed.
Oh, no. Oh, thank you, Honorable Van Dijk, Honorable Boni, Honorable Minister. We have got our new member, which is Honorable Boni Marekwa. This is her third meeting since she signed in. To you, Honorable Member.
No, thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Honourable Minister and your team, and all members of the committee, good morning. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I also, let me take the opportunity to welcome the report as was presented by both the Minister and the DG, and also appreciate one of the issues that I picked up along, not wanting to mention what other comrades have mentioned. One is impressed with the 65 Heritage Bursary Awards that have been given to needy kids. And we would like to commend the department and wish that it continues on that level, and even maybe to an extent of increasing the numbers of those children who will be able to benefit from the bursary scheme, making sure that there is improvement, and improvement not of their own, but also their families, because once you empower one person, the whole family might benefit from the one individual that has been empowered. Also on the issue of education that the document talks about, it's about also encouraging artists. I think it is very important. We know that artists, most of them have studied somewhere to be where they are, but education, as we know that in other languages, but you continue learning even when you are an expert in some areas. So we want to appreciate that information that comes from the report, from the department. Also that noting that this is a progress report, the heading that I picked up from the report on the slides was saying progress on implementation of the revised white paper on arts, culture and heritage. So we appreciate the progress and the report that is being presented, because it shows that there is some work that has been done by the department. But it is also important that maybe sooner we need to have another meeting to say how far have we concluded, or are we still continuing, and what are those areas that we still need to work on so that it does not end here today. So we appreciate and welcome the report in that sense. And then also issue of sports, arts and culture. as much as the report notes that mentions that there are forums in provinces and in local where we'll be having sets of forums that will, that are established. I think sports, courage, there's GBV, there's other ailments in our societies or far and deep and rural areas, and you see the scourge of drugs that young people are swimming in. And I think through sports and arts, and young people's lives can be saved and making them meaningful to their communities. So I think this should also continue, the department to continue and enter those areas that are not accessible, sometimes very far. I think through sports we'll be able to lift our communities from those immense ill issues such drugs and so on in our communities. So one also want to talk on the issue of the conditional grants. I think it's a step in the right direction, and we hope that the department will have enough resources, including manpower, to can deal with all these issues on the progress report, because to roll out a document or a program or a process needs a lot of resources, including human resource funding included as well. So I think it will be considered and looked into so that the department is not disadvantaged when it comes to the necessary and well-needed resources to can implement the plans that we have to roll the plans out as and when the document or is finalized. The other issue, Madam Chairperson, on the issue of the attendance or non-attendance of the minister, I think the minister has an office. There's the minister, and there's the deputy minister. On the past two meetings that I've attended, I've noted and one wanted to understand what is exactly this. But on the two meetings that I attended, Madam Chair, the deputy minister was present. And for me, the deputy minister was representing the office of the minister. The minister apologies that were read in the past meetings, the two meetings during this week, were having reasons also where is the minister and what is happening. It was not absence without apology. So minister is equally mandated to be in that particular meeting because of them representing an office. So we appreciate the time that the minister have made for today to be here, but it cannot be that we will want the minister all the time to be present in the meeting, because he has got other people who also want to see him. There are BOSACOG, there are committees, sports within the sports and arts fraternity that will also would like to engage with the minister one-on-one or from time to time. So as a committee, we need to appreciate that when the minister is not there, there's an apology and there will be a deputy minister representing. And also, we need to bear in mind that there are other things that will happen. Like today, we got a report that the deputy minister is not well. So we need to really consider other things. It's like saying to a president of a country, we want to meet in parliament every day. Who is going to run the affairs? How is he going to engage? So I think we appreciate the apologies that have been presented, and they are well accepted from our side, Honourable Minister, that we understand that you will not be in all places at all time, but as long as we have the Deputy Minister and the office is represented, I think that assists the meeting, and we continue to have reports. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Boni. The DJ, I'm suspecting the minister will be coming at the end, or any other arrangement that we are having as the office of the minister, who must start to respond. I'm leaving upon you. Thank you.
Yeah, the DJ will respond. Yes. Chair, I will come at the end after he and the team would have responded.
Thank you, Honourable Minister.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe Chairperson, let me start with a what is called begin with an end in mind concept by those who deal with policy development. Honorable Chairperson, this notion that revised white paper, which I'm getting, is a very unfortunate one. There's an assumption that it's either it's not there, there must still be a revised white paper being approved. There is a notion that it is not implemented. It's a total disregard of what has been presented on the implementation process of where we are. Now, let's dispel the notion that the policy is still not there. The revised white paper is there. If you read, and I said, I hope that the honorable members have read, because we're not coming here for the first time, the document. But if you just go back to the very first slide under background, it tells you that Cabinet approved this in October 2018. Parliament endorsed it in 2019. So I don't understand this question whether the policy is not there, whether members have read these presentations or not, is a concern for me, because we are answering questions that should not arise when we know the policy has been endorsed by Parliament in 2019, November. So starting with first question then, first thing then that I want to say that, please, honorable members, as we have said, there will be no consultations again, because the policy has been done, consulted upon. There was an advisory committee that was sitting and developed, went throughout all provinces to consult. We are talking implementation now, because in terms of the policy development cycle, you deal with problem identification. Now, honorable members are asking, what is the difference between this policy and this one? And I want to be clear, we presented those things on what is old and what is it that is new. And it's there in the archives of Parliament, presentations detailing the rationale behind policy review. So that is where we started, that there was a problem of alignment with what currently is happening vis-a-vis what was envisaged in 2005. Now, we move then further to outline to honorable members that then there was an analysis by a team that was then appointed. Then consultations happened. This is in line with the normal life cycle of policy development. Then there was a strategy to say, now, after endorsement, what are we going to do? This is what we presented to honorable members and said we have broken this down to short-term, medium-term, long-term. Now, legislation, which is what we start with all the time, is that which we had already started to do and that which needs revision, because if you talk of amalgamation of entities, they have two different legislations that must be brought together. You must then deal with that and have consultative processes for you to have an entity founded on basis of law as a new entity. So that is why we are saying, then we are explaining this in terms of years we are going to be able to do. So coming to then specific questions that have been raised to the department directly is to say, honorable member says that the policy, honorable Madlingozi says the policy is not there, has not been endorsed. What are the obstacles? The answer is this policy has been endorsed in November 2019 by Parliament. So there is now obstacle about this policy being endorsed. We are now implementing. Two, the issues of languages being not utilized as they should, official languages in the country. The department have got an entity called PENCEL, but we also have an own language unit in the department. Many honorable members have not acquainted themselves with work done to date by PENCEL in terms of even having the 2012 policy declaring the utilization of official languages in the country, which then says, among others, how to deal with regional diversification of these languages, because at least each region, because South Africa is a diverse country, must at least declare certain policies, there are certain languages that must be used. Over and above that, what is required of each department of the state to have policy on official languages? Now, the utilization of language, Honorable Chairperson, is a responsibility of citizens. Now, when instruments of government are there, and there is no implementation or utilization thereof, which is a report that PENCEL provides as an entity of this department to say what are the challenges. So we must then be able to use the language, but instruments of the state are there, this democratic state, democratic government, to say these languages are official and they must be utilized. And we monitor and we give report based on PENCEL's assessment of use of languages throughout the country. So I want to appeal, because now department have done what they're supposed to do. Promotion of these languages, we continue to have various interactions, particularly with the institutions around, various institutions around the use of these languages. But at the end of the day, there is a need for various levels, both of government, private sector, and universities, to utilize the languages. We are, as I speak now, we were working with National Library of South Africa, where Minister has always indicated in this forum the issue of just to have the classics so that people have access to the books that are written in their own language. Now, the reading campaign, where we are busy every time when we deal with the issues of books, we deal with the issues of books written in African languages. So that then our children and those who use it are able to do and utilize these languages. So I'm just saying, Chairperson, that the issue of official languages, if it's going to be left to the department and not bring on citizens on board, and use the instruments that the department has developed in government, then this, unfortunately, an elusive dream. We have to take the collective responsibility to drive the issue of utilization of this language. The boundaries we are offering under languages deal with the development of languages, of African languages. There are people who are doing currently through this boundary scheme, honors, postgrad, in these languages. Now, the next question, Chairperson, is in relation to how many drafts. I'm not sure if this question is still relevant. I've indicated that we no longer talking of drafts, we don't often endorse papers. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue of what the department doing or saying about the issue of the security work environment of the treaty. I think first and foremost, Minister mentioned the issue of the copyright amendment bill, as well as the performance protection amendment bill. Chairperson. That is where first and foremost legislation needs to be finalized. It covers a lot of protective clauses there to protect the creatives. But on our side, we have engaged with the Department of Labor, and the Department of Labor had published a paper where there were comments expected or public comment around just basically on the creatives and how to deal with this matter for them to get a protection, at least in the work environment. We have engaged with them to make sure that there is policy enacted in this regard. Now, the issue of honorable, I think Honorable Mtrong, I'm not sure about the NAC, because that's the only one I think I can talk to at this stage. We have presented to the committee on several occasions how the money allocated to NAC of 300 million has been utilized and jobs created. And I think I will ask that if the Kumalo can just indicate that. We have indicated the money has been used and given and is in the pockets of artists and people who were employed, this 300 million. We have indicated what is the balance. And I would like to share those figures before we leave here. Because clearly there is something that is being said here that is inaccurate, that the 300 million have not been used for the intended purpose in its totality. The forensic report pointed to the areas of gaps, Chairperson, where it indicated those who might have been board members who should not have duly benefited, and that then action must be taken. But to say the whole 300 million, there has been a failure of this PSP program when we have created so many jobs and the money has been allocated to the creatives is incorrect. Now, Honorable Adams, we welcome the comments that have been made. The partnership with the Department of Basic Education, as we indicated, the MOU or MOA was done and finalized. Then the team had to work on what we call the work plan on how to implement the things that are there. The reason for a bit of a delay in this regard was that we needed to revisit the MOU so that it incorporates the new mandate of the department as one department. And the previous MOU were both separate, dealing with issues of sport and the others dealing with the issues of arts and culture and programs that we have as individuals. Where to then have a technical team that after ministers met to say we need the way in which we're going to regulate our relationship. Then we met and they assigned me and the DG Mwale to work on this MOA, which was then finalized by the team. Then the team presented this MOA. Then we said to them, but how are we going to implement it? You need to have a work plan. And the work plan then has been finalized. It is my understanding when I got the report on progress that the team will be presenting to the DGs early January, and then thereafter, end of January, we present this to the ministers, this MOA with a work plan and integrated MOA that talks to both issues of sport as well as art and culture. And then we have a single point of reference to implement arts, culture and sport in schools. But that did not stop us from working with them in terms of artists in schools programs, the issue of school sports programs that are still taking place as they happen. But we needed to finance that MOA. Now, on the issue raised around NA, I think that is why that was not in terms of timelines, because that is ongoing, but we'll just check that, Honorable Chairperson. Now, we also welcome the issue then of, as I've indicated, the issue of legislation and alignment with PFMA, that we will definitely, Honorable Dennis, deal with those and be able to then make sure that all legislation that need amendments are amended, but it does need the process to amend the legislation. And then the issues of the libraries, I think it was a comment, I will not comment. It is true indeed, it requires a lot of money, that 18 billion rand. That is why then we could not take this to finality, because we need to finalize this issue. And I think in our presentation, we're talking of around 2023 to finalize this issue of if we were to roll it out, how are we going to provide for it? And it is true that it does have impact on both the province and local government. Hence, this needs to be finalized at all those levels of who funds what, so that the budget issue, when we promise our people in this country about the functionality of libraries, we are clear that it is doable and who is responsible for what in this big pie of the budget. And amalgamation of entities, as we've indicated, we have started with that process, and we gave a concrete example of what is happening with Embu and Freedom Park, working with Matola as well as Embuzin to bring this together. We've indicated with the NAC and the NFVF that over and above the issue of legislation, there is also then the issue that the task team has been established to work towards that. But we do agree that it will help to streamline the issues of operational budgets so that we've got one body that can be able to work on that. But it needs time to finalize the amalgamation processes for individual entities. And then on the issue of the basic education and curriculum content, yes, we agree in that regard in terms of the curriculum change and decolonization of curriculum itself, so that our curriculum talks to what our kids should understand as being a decolonized curriculum and curriculum content that reflects our values as a country and our identity. And the basic education has been busy with the curriculum review committee, among others, to deal with that. But our partnership with them will assist in terms of making inputs in relation to sport, arts, and culture. So we welcome the comment, Honorable Chairperson. I think the rest I have covered, the Chairperson, what the others were being comments, which we welcome. But others were more related to maybe minister. I don't know if there is any addition from my colleagues.
Any addition from DG before I give minister?
Yes, please, Honorable Chair, and good morning to yourself, the members, Minister DG, and my colleagues. I would want to just add, as requested by the DG, with respect to the issue of the disbursement of the PESP funds by NAC in terms of where we are at this stage. But Honorable Chair, just allow me also just to mention, DG made mention of the theatre in the Northern Cape. It's functional right now. And in fact, the whole issue of the launching, official launching of it and the renaming is, we're looking at a date in about 2 weeks' time. A date of about around the 15th of December is being discussed with the province. I just wanted to add that first of all. With regard to the NAC, PESP funds, Honorable Chair and members, NAC was given a total amount of 300 million in terms of the allocation out of that 665 million that we had received from Treasury. 5% of that amount was to go towards the admin cost that they were to incur in the process of this disbursement, which then leaves an amount of 285 million. And this is the amount that is in the process of being dispersed. It's reaching finality at this point in time. We can report to the portfolio committee that 279.4 million as of yesterday has been dispersed out of this 285 million. And it's been dispersed to a total number of 1,309 projects, Honorable Chair, who all have received their first tranche payments, because the payments were done in tranches to ensure that those recipients submit reports before they can then be given the second and final tranche. And I'm saying the first tranche payment to 1,309 projects, but creating 22,151 jobs, Honorable Chair, and these are the jobs that have been verified that we are reporting on. And they are obviously going to increase as the project is being finalized. Of those projects that we approved that have received the second tranche, it's a total of 1,199. And you will note then, Honorable Chair, that the balance of about 5.6 million that still remains within the PESP allocation of NAC is what is then going to be going towards that second tranche payment as and when the beneficiaries submit their reports with respect to the utilization of the first tranche payment. That is where we stand at this point in time. The project is being finalized as I indicate, and the final report would be then presented to us as a department by end of February by NAC. But the conclusion of the project, we are projecting that they will finalize all these outstanding payments of the first tranches before the end of December. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much, DDG. Dr. Kumalo, Honorable the Minister.
Well, thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to DJ and the team on the response which they have provided. Well, Chair, I think the DJ has actually clarified the issues which have been raised by Honorable Madeline Ngozi, and for me, it would be just a matter of emphasis, really, that the we are no longer talking about a delayed white paper. This particular committee, in fact, we hope that the white paper would be passed in the fifth administration. It couldn't. It can't be implemented if it's not endorsed by Parliament. But in its wisdom, this very committee, and I want to thank for that day. Chair, that they saw the value in endorsing the white paper. So I would urge honourable members to come first and be here where we are, because we are now giving a report after you, as this committee, has endorsed the white paper, which effectively its process started in January 2020, which was last year. And what the team has been raising here is what emanated from that. I would be pleased if the members engage with the progress made so far. I've not heard Honorable Madeline Ngozi alluding to that. We are hard at work in implementing the white paper. We're no longer talking about some committees 6 years ago or 20 years ago. We are here after 2019. Count 2020, 2021, and this is what we are saying we've done in implementing the white paper. And on languages, Chair, I appreciate the concern of Honorable Malingozi. The issue of languages is a very important one. You know, Chair, one is seeing that and experiencing that practically where we have on the record trying to preserve one of the languages which is becoming extinct in the country, the new language. And the new language has only Omar Katrina Esau, who's known to be the custodian of this language. And Omar Katrina is advanced in age, is part of the Living Legends Legacy Fraternity of the department. We are doing everything in our power to actually digitize the language itself, working with PAMSALP. So it's a very important matter the member is raising. I can say, Chair, that under the leadership of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, we are working together in ensuring that this parliament pass the 12th official language, which is the sign language in this country. So we're working very hard on that because it's an important thing to do. But coming to what is it we are doing so that people would understand. Sometimes you feel when people say that the department is not doing anything, you feel that there is a gap of people familiarizing themselves with what is there for everybody to see, especially people who are in this area. You see, for instance, the reprinting of the African classic books, those very books you read in your high school times and so on, is meant to highlight this, to highlight the importance of the language. Chair, I don't know where were you. I think you were in sport at the time in 2016, for instance. As part of this program of highlighting indigenous languages, we celebrated one of the African classic books and we shared with Parliament in 2016, which was turning 100 years, Idyala Lamawele, as part of this program of highlighting what needs to be done. We've worked with the president even when he was still the deputy president, because one of the things he does and does best is reading and the revival of the culture of reading and writing together with the South African Library. We have actually ensured that each time we really expand, particularly from the level of language and literature. That is why annually we support financially the South African Literature Association to highlight the usage of languages. So it's an important aspect that the member has touched on. As the DJ said, we give bursaries to no less than 300 students every year for the languages study in most of the major universities in this country. We do that and we continue to do that because we believe that it's important that we look into this aspect. But not only that, Chair, we are looking at, you see, Africans and English developed to the point where they are today precisely because there were investment, there were resources specifically, pumped into this process of development and research, institutes, museums for the preservation and the development of languages and so on happened. In our backyard, in a place there in Makanda or Mwele, that beautiful place. We had as one of these 25 entities of the department then, which was arts and culture. We had what was called as one of the entities, the National English Literary Museum. And part of the mandate of this museum under our leadership was to further develop and improve English. So I said, no, something must change here. English is developed. This entity is located in an area where 80% of people speak isiXhosa. We then said, no, we are changing this mandate, we are not going to discard English, but part of the mandate would be to develop and improve isiXhosa in Makanda.
Honorable Minister, just yes. A moment. Honorable Mhlongo, Minister still on the platform. Is it a point of order?
I'm sorry. It's an old hand.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Member.
So the thing is that this museum is now dealing with isiXhosa, not only English, for development and promotion. And we're looking at other museums as well. Honorable Madlingo also talks of the academies and theaters and things, pipe dream. No, actually, all of those theaters, playhouses, are there, and they are not a pipe dream, they are happening, and they are working, Chair. Our program, we have reported this to Parliament during the budget vote as well. Our program is to undermine the apartheid's partial development, because these academies and playhouses have only been in four former colonial provinces. And what the DG and DDG were trying to illustrate to you, honorable members, is that we have expanded to accommodate the democratically agreed to boundaries and provinces, that at least in each province out of these nine, not four, out of these nine, there should be that particular theater. But we have also, as part of this training and professionalizing the industry, we are and have been funding other academies, whether it's Mzwakhe Poetry Academy or whether it's Professor Ntuli, Pitika Ntuli Studios on carving and so on. And many of these, including the Technical and Production Academy by Fredinia Teller, which we have been funding over a period of time. So it's happened, it's there. What we are saying that we will continue, we'll finish off the cycle and ensure that actually things are happening. On the issue of you, so the issue then of languages, we are concerned as you are, that they will have in public spaces where it would be a hello and goodbye. And this is what we are doing practically, and we've been doing over years. On the issue of the challenge of not accessing UIF, well, it's a correct observation, Honorable Member, Honorable Madlingozi, that part of the bills, I've urged you as Parliament to do everything in your power to fast track their passing, is so that they regulate the industry. They won't be in the UIF artists. They won't be there precisely because the industry is not regulated. And these two pieces of legislation on your left there in Parliament are meant to do just that. So I think we should be able to. We hope that you will do the necessary work so that they are passed in Parliament. Honorable Mhlongo, No, I don't appreciate your welcome because I think it's condescending. I've never taken a French leave from this committee. And every time I account about my whereabouts, so there is no instance where I have not been part of the meeting. You see, for instance, Chair, the the November schedule, which is one schedule which I've not been party to. The 12th and the 9th were Fridays, and I couldn't attend. This is the day, this is part of the days of the outreach program, which we have established in the department over a period of time. The 9th, the 16th and the 23rd of this month, I couldn't participate in this committee because it was cabinet committee days. And if it's cabinet committee days, the deputy minister will come in. And I think that should sink in our heads that that's the situation. If there is a proposal from Honorable Mhlongo that the date be changed, that would be good. But even when the date would be changed, I won't always be there in the committee. I would be there as and when I have to. The 30th of this month, was Tuesday, I could not attend Chair because I was part, I'm still part of the state visit, but I was taking the first and the last leg as per the president, because that's the program of the president. And if in future the state visit, I won't be part of the committee meeting. And it's not about anything, but it's about opening up opportunities, opening up the global and continental platforms for the artists and for the arts in this country, together with the athletes. So it's not welcome back as it were. It's the continuation. And the deputy minister has been here. I'm not happy, Chair, that I've heard bad things and reports about an instance where both the deputy minister and I were not around, one because of the cabinet committee meetings on my part, but the deputy minister was not well. And I have no respect of people who just dismisses for the sake of it, even when somebody is ill, very insensitive. I really don't have any respect for it. The deputy minister attends these meetings and she'll continue to attend. The deputy minister will send in the oral replies in parliament when I'm not around and she'll continue to do like that. So there's nothing like indoda nayo lahlekona a welcome way. There's no. Now, I'll be glad to hear what are the political issues with the NSC. There's no political issue. The NSC has worked very well, as the DDG has responded. The PESP, there's no money which disappeared. And I would urge members, request them to read. I mean, that should be part of our, we encourage the culture of reading and so on. For the past 3 weeks now, the report on NAC is out. And this report doesn't talk about disappearance of 300 million rands. The issue is that 285 million rands was allocated. To date, 279.4 million rand is in the pockets of the artists. That constitute 98.6%. It's not lost. It's in the pockets of the artists. So they have this money. What remains out of that, to conclude the 285, are the reports some artists have to give so that they get their last tranche. The person who is owed here, by those who were in the council before, is NAC, not artists. So this thing that there is money which disappeared, I would urge, Chair, that you also advise others to really read the report which is out there from the forensic FM, which did that. There's no money which is lost. Artists, and we've said this, Chair, that even this 285 million rand is not enough. But this is what we have. This is what we have. And overall, you know, we have a situation where we are at a point where the NAC itself is going to be concluding on this matter because people have had money. The mismanagement the NAC is dealing with, their CEOs, CFOs, and everybody there, they are dealing, it's for the NAC, not for the artists. Not a cent for the artists is to waste out of this 285 million. Honorable Dennis, I think that I really, you know, am touched with the way you understand this part of our work on the library and ensuring that the access to information to as many people as possible is achieved. I'm really touched on that, and I think that you know, it helps your intervention helps, especially when you talk from the point of view of the budget and the need to support the department, particularly on that. So I really am happy about your contribution, and we'll continue. In fact, you are encouraging us to do in pushing to ensure that really nobody at this time and age should be out of information. Information is important. Knowledge production is important, and therefore our libraries play a very key role in social progress. Honorable Fanteik, you know, the matter you touched on of our MOU with DPE, I would say, honorable member, that it is the lifeblood of the success or our success in sport development. Honorable member, you know, over and above what the DG has said about the reviewing of the mandate and so on, I've also, from the ministry point of view, have moved to look at other aspects, because you would understand, the honorable member, that part of the challenges have to do with finances. We are pushing and we're going back to Judge Davis on the Davis Commission so that they give breaks to those who sponsor sports, so that we are able to get more sponsors and the sport develop as well. But what is going to make or break sport in this country is a school sport. And you have your finger on the pulse thereof. We will be, the beginning of January, launching the Ambassadors Program, where we are trying to, over and above the agreement we have with the Department of Basic Education, get other, like your ambassadors, people who have been there before in sport, coming together with us, working with us, and ensuring that we go down to the townships, we go to the villages and so on, and ensure that there's development insofar as that is concerned. And thank you very much, Honorable Member. Honorable Member Zondi.
Honorable Minister, yes? try to fast track your answers. I'm being reminded by administration monitoring the time. Thank you, Honorable Minister.
Okay, no, thanks. I'm sorry, Honorable Chair. But I think, Honorable Zondi, the matter we have referred to, we will crisscross the world, Honorable Member, as you are noting correctly so. We'll crisscross the world because we want our artists to be exposed. Thanks for noting that and the importance thereof. Honorable Boni, you must correct me here, Chair, is Marekwa or Morekwa?
Yes, Marekwa.
Well, thank you so much, Honorable Member. In all what we have raised, starting from the bursaries, the kids, and your appreciation of the steps which have been taken in implementing the white paper, the report today, your observation about the role sport play in social cohesion and nation building, the issue of conditional grants, without which, without ring fencing that, without working with COCTA to ring fence that, we were not going to be able to be opening facilities like every week, because this is what we do. That's why Fridays are very occupied for us, because it's the point of delivery and interaction with our communities. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable Members, I didn't ask questions because I was thinking that you have asked so many questions. Some are relevant to my questions. But also, I wanted to say to you, Honorable Members, I fulfilled the mandate of the committee on looking what are those things who are outstanding. And you agreed in this that when we are presenting that, we must call the department to come and give us the process and the progress on what, when we are this committee members, when we get to have the amalgamation as this committee. We noticed in our first debate that the problem of arts and culture, it needs this white paper. And as these members who were proposing to the department immediately, the department did take the cue of doing what they were aware even themselves, that without this white paper, all what they've just now presenting, doing a report back, was not going to be in today in this meeting. I'm encouraging that, and I know that other members like Honorable Boni, they are just joining us in the committee. They will have chance to get on with the information that it was there. So we are encouraging you, department, whenever we want you to come and give us a progress in any of the legislation or any other issues relating to this committee, you must always give us that opportunity that we must engage with you in order that these members, as they've done today, they will see the gaps, they will see the progress and where they do want to add more, they will do that. The questions that I was going to ask, they were related on what some of you and the minister and the DG on this cultural diplomas and international corporations. So I'm not going to ask them, but I want to emphasize that as this committee, we came here with the understanding that there was an MOU before MOA. The MOA did filter when the amalgamation of this sports and recreation, and then when now we have got sports, arts and culture, they started to go to look at MOA, which now, even today, we do appreciate about this report that now you are hands-on DG, because initially all of us were crying that MOU and then now OMAA, what are you doing? And they, through the department, you reported that the two DGs are in a committee that wanting to fast track those input, and that you must always come and brief us in order that we must know what we are doing in this department of ours. By those words, honorable members, I'm saying that I do appreciate the questions raised by members. I do appreciate the responses from the department. Can honorable members ask that we must take the second briefing according to time? We must remember that we still have minutes which are outstanding. Sometimes some of us being chairpersons, the office of house chairperson does call saying that you have an old minutes, please, before they are expired. So I'm giving the department now to give us the last presentation.
Point of exchange.
Okay,
I'll raise the hand on the.
I did check, you lowered it when I was about to say Honorable Mhlongo, but I don't have any problem. You have a chance, Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chair. Can I comment on the minister, and I have a follow-up question on the department? It seems like the minister thinks I'm not sensitive enough. I think he must go back to the minutes and check, have I not approved any sick leave or any sick apology from the deputy minister? I think it's uncalled for, and it's unbecoming that you think I didn't. Thank you, the minister, go back to the minutes. The only minutes that, two, three set of minutes that I did not accept an apology, you, not from the deputy minister. And I think, let's not say, I'm a proceso. Sensitive. I understand Nami, I do get sick. But nonetheless, Minister, you've acknowledged, Guti, you only acknowledge letters, you don't respond because you are quiet on that. I've sent several issues, for example, issues of us not getting the forensic report. We only get it from the media. It was clearly unbecoming and uncalled for us to get questions. Imagine you're a member of the committee, you get questions from a journalist, you don't have that report. Another issues of federation not getting their subsidy in time or their grant in time. Now, what I'm saying to you, Minister Guti, I'll ask Guti, it's not only, and I know that you are a busy man. I noted that. But a schedule for you to have a courtesy to respond to our emails. And I won't even, you know, when you have time to respond to our emails, not acknowledge. And maybe it will be better for me, because if you don't respond to my emails, I expect you to come to the meeting and respond when I ask. For example, issues of diplomatic code with the issues as Miss World, Miss South Africa, who was not supported by you to say he's not going there on behalf of South Africa because you don't support Israel. I think we want to engage on those issues. As a young woman...
Honorable Mhlongo, please be brief to the point. You must manage the time. Please, Honorable Member.
I think, Chair, that's why every meeting we must have a minister for us on day to day issues that is happening in the country. We must engage and know which stance I came in. That is the only request I will ask. Because there are issues that I cannot even wait for them. Ask a formal question. Yeah, the question that I'm asking. But
we are being cut now.
Ask. Engage if the minister may open the opening while he may respond, but nonetheless, Minister, and I see voters. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
I want you to round up your questions. I do hear Honorable Mushongo. I'm seeing so many
questions. My question is, it double dipping. I think, Minister, the AG, our observation, my questions within different presentation, double dipping. Even the AG has observed that. Now I'm saying, but if there's double dipping, there's mismanagement. Go NAC.
Please, it must be straight question, Honorable. We are managing the time. I'm pleading with you.
Okay. DG Kumalo, Dr. Kumalo, you stated that 5.6 million it's outstanding. According to the report, and I think with DG Berakona yesterday, the different figures that you gave us, now we are saying it's 5.6 million, and obviously you said towards the end of the year, but there's a stipulated date on the report. It says on the 15th of December. I wanted to find out, when is the actual finalization, of all faces or trenches, so to say, for artists to get money. DG, last one, amalgamation. You've been saying it takes time. What is the plan, the ETA dates? When are we going to implement the white paper? Thank you.
Honorable members, I'm pleading with you. I cannot not allow you to do a follow-up questions, but you must try to avoid the preambles. Because now, look at the time, and we still have about the two items. I do respect that you want all answers. Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to say that the highest trees got the most wind. But I also just wanted to applaud the team we work from the minister and DSEC for work done on this revised white paper. Although there were some challenges, they did moving from November 2019, where Parliament endorsed it. I thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Did you hear me?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Honorable Members. I want to remind Honorable Members that DG referred us to the presentation and which we did ask them to come and report, and on the NAC report, which was out before we got it. Honorable Members, the explanation was that the NAC met with the minister or the department, but the NAC, what they have done, which we were all queried about, and we did get responses. I'm trying to remind us, and you can go to our minutes, that they issued the report to the office of Chairperson, and late difference of hours, they issue this report in the media before even us. It was on Saturday, before even it department come and handle with us, and we did tell the department, and they did respond. And in the double dipping, the department, the DG and the DDG, they did respond to us. So I'm saying, Honorable Members, as you are members who really reading and refer to our minutes, if we can go and check, it is there, these responses. And then one other thing, that as a chairperson also, I must guide the committee with the apology of the deputy minister. The two times the deputy minister was not with us, and honorable members, they even said that now the deputy minister is following what the minister is doing. But he, on the last meeting that we're having with the deputy minister, I've raised this, that honorable members, you even said that even the deputy minister now disrespect this committee. So let's not repeat things that we address and they are in the minutes, in order that we must have a chance of now going to the second item in the agenda. Honorable members, I've seen this honor. You want to respond, honorable? This is it, minister? Can minister respond? Because now I'm seeing again the following hand of honorable Mhlongo. I was giving a process of the meetings which we held as this committee, honorable members. So when I'm referring you, I'm not defending anyone, but I wanted that because I do chair meetings and I know what was happening in the in this committee with the reports that we did call the department, the DG and DDGs, they did come and report to us. Honorable Minister.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. No, it's precisely the point, and I stand by that when people don't appreciate, even when the minister is sick, is a problem. And I emphasize on that. Comments like that, look at her now, she's following the minister and so on, when they know what they are as a person.
Just a minute, honorable minister. Yes, honorable Mhlongo.
Yeah, point of order, Chair. Chairperson, I think the minister, even yourself, you must be specific. Which set of minutes that we did not acknowledge that the minister is sick, if the deputy minister is off sick, and we did not support that? I think both of you, can I have the dates that I've raised that I'm insensitive for someone who's sick? Let's not generalize issues here.
Honorable Mhlongo, we're here to answer and to correct each other. I didn't say that you have said when she was sick. I'm saying that when the apology of deputy minister twice, if it's not thrice, was tabled in this meeting, it was not accepted, and you were amongst those honourable members, and we've said we don't have any problem. Yourself and Honorable Mahlingosi, you even said now, even Deputy Minister, she is not with us. So I'm not talking about, let me go to the dates. I'm just saying that this thing is being addressed now, that we must accept that whilst Minister and Deputy Minister, even one other time when Deputy Minister, let alone that report, I'm not sure whether they've said she is sick, but there were apologies for the deputy minister who was not in the meetings. I don't think I'm not sure whether there were two or three, but your good self and honorable Mahlingos, you have said you are not accepting now even the apology of the deputy minister, because there's no minister, there's no deputy minister. So I'm saying I'm not giving the exact wording, but the apologies of the minister and deputy minister were not accepted even of the deputy minister. But the apology to me, as I'm sitting here, I'm not sure whether that apology was the apology saying that she's sick, or but we did get apologies of deputy minister, which you queried, and even honorable Mahlingos queried that now deputy minister, even yesterday, if it was yesterday or other day, I've said now today, honorable deputy minister, the honorable Mhlongo is saying that, you know, okay, you are here, but I've even said, but you were queried about even her apologies. So I wanted that, honorable members, we are trying to address this question of apologies. I can't come with the dates. The dates are there with our staff that they can provide us. I cannot give you that, but the only issue is that you didn't accept the apology of the deputy minister. But that apology, I'm not sure whether it was saying she is sick or she is not able to attend the meeting. Thank you, honorable members. Please, today we're supposed to be this committee who discuss amicable problems, which are...
Point of order, Chairperson.
Hello, honorable Mashingosi.
Thank you. Chairperson, I don't remember me saying that I don't accept the apology of the deputy minister. All I said was, it is hard when the minister and the deputy minister are not around, and it has been going on for quite a long time. I never said I don't accept apologies.
Please. Thank you, Honorable Madlingosi, for that correction. Thank you, Honorable Madlingosi. Honorable Minister, thank you, Honorable Madlingosi.
Well, thanks, Chair. I know for a fact that if I'm not around, the deputy minister is here. There's no vacuum of negative at any given point, unless the DM is ill or has also reported what is happening in terms of our work. The issue, Chair, look, this forensic report, this forensic report belongs to NAC, and NAC decided to release the report on a Saturday, and NAC decided to inform the committee on the same day, which we were also informed, based on the advice they got from their legal team, that they would rather release the report than giving it to individuals who are quoted in the report. So there is no issue about the people seeing it in the papers. It was given to the committee on the day it was released. I also received that. The issue of federations, if federations do not keep up with time, they would have a late payment. Simple and straightforward. You give report, you get payment. You don't give report, you delay, the payment is going to be delayed. This thing of, I'm glad, Chair, you dealt with the issue of double dipping and so on, because this has been dealt with umpteenth times here. Now, this issue of my open door policy, I still say, Chair, I have the open door policy for anybody, but it's not the door of, to be exploited. Chair, I thought I made a mistake initially to afford the Honorable Mhlongo what I thought is the respect he deserves. He used to call me and ask things, and I would inform him about things during the period of cricket. After I had taken him into confidence about what is happening, he went out and issued a statement, you know, contrary to what we're discussing. And I took a decision that this thing of being, you know, cautious with people who do not deserve that, but those who deserve, I'll always be open. I speak to members of the different political parties on a continuous basis. None of them has ever disappointed. So the door is still open. I speak to people, but I want to say, Chair, that the letters which Honorable Mhlongo is talking about, I would want to see them. I would wish that they are sent to you so that I get those letters. But as I said, when it comes to reports and then when it comes to questions, there is a procedure. Let's follow that procedure. Thank you very much, Chair.
Madam Chair, you are muted.
Oh, I was saying that, can we go to the second point? And I was saying, if it's you, please put this the presentation in the slide. DG Minister did start with this presentation when he was doing a political overview. Can DG take us and tell us who's going to take us to this point number two?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I will not then go back, because there was a reference about the third wave and the 15th of December. Just to confirm that remains, Chairperson, as correctly captured by the, at the time we're engaging with the AXA, Auditor General, and that is the date for the 15th of December, that the third wave we would have done with those payments of the individuals. And I think that remains. In fact, when we submit a test report, the committee will see that this would be achieved far ahead of that in relation to the individual's payment of the third wave. Honorable Chairperson. On the presentation I'm making now, this is in relation to the sports, to the National Sport and Recreation Amendment Bill. I will no longer really waste time of the committee. I would ask them, because the rest is what we've presented before to the committee as a background. I just want us to go to the status update, which is on a, just go further down. Yes, go back. Honorable Chairperson, as we had presented here, that there were consultations that were going to be finalized with the provinces, and that there were submissions by the provinces that, by consultation of stakeholders, that was finalized. Where we are now, we are really just at a stage where I have submitted the report, the whole Sport Recreation Amendment Bill to the state law advisors, who are now busy with the issue of their own assessments. And two, that is because we had received the feedback from the DPME, which we had said that we were going to submit also that bill to them to do the socioeconomic impact assessment. So that has been done. All we are at a stage now where once the state law advisors come back to us, then this will take it through the process of a final cabinet cluster processes, and then be taken to cabinet before then it is processed through a parliament. So that is where we are. I'm sure, can you just move here, slide 7? Just move to the slide where it was just towards the end.
Second draft.
Can you move? Yes, that is the current update that we wanted to provide to the committee without bogging down the committee on where we are. But just to confirm that both these processes have now been finalized. We are just now at the stage of a state law advisors. Once that comes back to us, we will then take it through the final cabinet cluster processes and then submit to cabinet or chairperson.
Okay, Tichy. Honorable members, as we were aware that we wanted at least to understand the whereabouts these two items, can you engage with this information. Honorable Mahlingosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. DG, I would love to ask if through you, Chair, sorry. That is the National Sport and Recreation Amendment Bill what was needed to stop the arrogance of SASCOG's leadership when they were against what the minister was saying about the transformation in our sport? And if it is what was needed, is there a way of not letting that to be repeated in future? And another question is, when do you think this bill will be passed? If that's the right word. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mahlingosi. Honourable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, DG, for the briefing that you've given. Chairperson, my question will be from on page 6. In attempting to implement the Act according to shortcomings mentioned, Chairperson, my question is, are the department confident about the timeline in which the bill will come to finalization? And page 8, Chair, to provide the promotion and development of sport or creation and to establish a sport attrition. Creation, this. My question is, are federations in support of the proposed bill? And my last question, Chair, on page 9, the current update, the bill was submitted to DPME and CS on 27 July and on the 23rd of September 2021 to the Office of Chief State Law Advisor. My question, Chair, when will the bill be introduced to the National Assembly, and are there any court challenges towards the proposed bill? I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Just two questions, Chairperson. The one is on clarity on the current Sports and Recreation Amendment Bill of 2020. I just want to understand the fact that the Department of Sports and Recreation and Arts and Culture have merged. What does this mean for the bill existence now? If two departments collapse from one department, does it mean the bill or under which program in the department now does the bill exist? Just for clarity on that, and then just a question also on the state law advisors. My understanding is that if it is for the state law advisors only for legal approval to look at the legal layout and muster of the bill, does that mean that all the other points that was raised by other stakeholders has been dealt with as per the slides presented to us? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Dennis. May I refer back to the presenters?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member. DDG, kind of, I don't know if you want to respond to some, and then I will just add if there is any gap. Because I think with the status, we have been also fortunate that the second one has been done.
and it came back just before when we had already submitted this report. So we believe we are on track with its movement towards being tabled or introduced to Parliament. But did you kind of just any inputs before I just conclude to come back to you? Did you can't? Okay.
She's always having a problem of network. I didn't even see the here on the.
Sorry.
Can I go to the issue then of does the bill deal with SARS-CoV matters?
Sorry. Yeah, thanks a lot. DG. Good afternoon, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Minister. Good afternoon, members and our colleagues. Thanks, DG, if I heard correctly from the member, Madlongozi, I think he was asking, you know, what effect this bill would have in terms of leadership of SASCOP. I think at the time, in the existing bill, the Sports Confederation is recognized as an entity on its own. The minister was not able, the minister, by virtue of the law, the act, the present act, is not able to interfere in the operations and the administration of either the Sports Confederation or any of the federations. However, at the time when the issues came before the minister was able to deal with it and also deal with the IOC, that is an oversight over the Sports Confederation. And then the IOC then appointed a mediator to deal with all of the leadership issues there. And very much the Confederation then used their own instruments, their constitution and their committees and their instruments to deal with those issues, Chairperson. With the other issue, the other question about, you know, now with the merger of the department, does this bill still appropriate? I think I need to indicate it is, Chairperson, because if you're looking at the sports sector, there were issues that were in the sports sector that existed when the department was a standalone department of sport. It has not changed. So the bill still needs to be amended to address those because the entities, the stakeholders have not changed in sport. The structures have not changed. But in the last, in the former department, there were gaps. The gaps still exist, and this bill then seeks to close on and many of those gaps as possible. Chairperson, the other issue that has been raised is about the timeline and the state law advisor. I think, Chairperson, from our side, with regard to the state law advisor, we've had feedback from the state law advisor. The director of legal services is in the meeting as well. He will be able to give us, you know, an update on the state law advisor's comments, et cetera, and how we're processing that as well. So, sorry, not the state law advisors. It's the SAS from the DPME. Yes, it went to the DPME on the 27th of July. And the state law advisor again on the 23rd of September. It went to the state law advisor on the 23rd of September. It was sent again to the state law advisor on the 9th of November. And on the 21st of October, we had a meeting with DPME where they gave guidance on how to respond to certain questions and the evidence that should support, for example, the National Sport and Recreation Plan, Women in Sport, the Ministerial Committees of Inquiry, the Sports Arbitration Tribunal that needs to be costed. So I think those are the things that has come out of the discussion, so we're working on that. But I'm also going to ask Madam Chair, through you, DG, as well, for Mr. Mantata to respond to some of the issues that have been raised. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. I'm not sure if that would be necessary. I think the questions were much direct, and the question was, does the bill deal with the issues of SASCOC vis-a-vis department? The bill does, as Honorable Moses has asked, it provides much more clarity about roles and responsibilities between the department and SASCOC. And we're hoping that then we'll be able to put to bed any ambiguities or misconceptions or understanding between the parties responsible for implementing the bill. And then on the issue of the timeline, I think the Honorable Chairperson, at this stage, we need to, once we get the feedback from the state law advisor, we will then be able to take this through as I indicated, the legislative processes of an approval by cabinet, and then thereafter be able to table it. So I would ask that that outline, we be able to provide it much specifically when we come back in the new year, because we will have a clearer indication on all the issues that the state law advisor might have had to raise and be addressed. But it is our hope that in the new financial year, this must be at the door of be presented to the to Parliament for consideration. Well, on the issue raised by the any possible court challenges, I think at this stage, not that we are aware of. And always when we get the inputs from the state law advisors, one of the things is to look at areas of potential legal challenges. And at this stage, we have not received any such indication, but we cannot preempt whether those who might not be happy with certain clauses, what action they will take. But at this stage, we don't have that chairperson. And then on the issue of the inputs by other stakeholders, whether these have been taken into account, yes, we did receive inputs, and those were taken into account in terms of going forward to process the bill. But there were those who might have come later, which then we would not have been able to incorporate. But there was a very clear, thorough process up to the level of province by province consultation. And there were a number of volumes of submissions by the various stakeholders that we were able to take into account. I think those were the chief questions that were asked. Thanks.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, honorable members. Some of us will rejoice the day that this table in our parliament, in order that we must overcome. Some of us, we are aware that there are those other stakeholders who discovered that they were not belonging to any federation, and that's why sometimes we will be having some problems with SASCOC and department. People who maybe are individual, like my father, who does have ships, and then that's that thing called ship sharing. So coming to present themselves as they are federation, hoping that those things will be put to rest, in order that we must deal with issues of people of South Africa. We're hoping that immediately, as we're wanting this, it must be state advisor. They are going to fast track or do with immediate effect with it, in order that it must come to us. We want this bill like yesterday. Can I take this moment to ask whether anything to say? If not,
Chair, no, thank you very much.
thanks to you and the committee.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, now I may release, can I release the minister and the entire of the department in order that we must deal with our own internal issues. Thank you so much, Minister, and your company. You may be released.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Minister.
So, can you put the minutes? Maybe, Honorable Members, let's start by giving you the that we must reflect on what when I was doing my opening remarks. If you still want to engage on the two issues, because the first one, to my understanding, they are not yet be given all the information. The Cricket South Africa, they are waiting that Advocate Nsebeza, who's dealing with it, must come back to themselves. So they've asked that they must come next year. And then this issue of Swim South Africa, also let's give it firstly to Uzoleka to tell us what is it now, latest information with the office and themselves. So, Leka, can you give the committee the last engagement with them?
Thank you, Madam Chair. After we received the rejection of the application from the House Chairperson last night, I forwarded it to Swimming South Africa and wanted to find out if they will be able to attend the meeting on Tuesday, now that it will not be a closed meeting. I have not received any response from them, Chairperson, and I will let you know as soon as I do.
Thank you. Honorable members, I'm proposing that let's leave it as an item of Tuesday until further notice. Can now have the minutes. Honorable members, I'm presenting to you the minutes of 23rd November, briefing by Public Protector on investigation. I don't think we have much to say. Go up. Thank you, Honorable members. Can I invite the proposal of adoption of these minutes? Honorable Malomani. Honorable Malomani.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Greetings to our colleagues and the staff members. I just want to move for the adoption of the minutes as tabled. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The proposal, Honorable Members. I've seen the hand of Honorable Zondi.
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you. The minutes now are adopted. So, Leka, do we have any other?
No, Madam Chair, that's the only set of minutes for today.
Honorable members, I'm sorry, my voice. Honorable members, can I take again this opportunity to thank you with your robust engagement with the department in order that we must have information. Information is a power. Where we have mistake or misunderstanding when we are in this committee. It's our committee where we can correct each other. I do appreciate your presence and your contribution, honorable members. With these words, I'm saying this meeting is adjourned, honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Wonderful weekend to everybody. Thank you.